bounce there. I'm going to get right back into the tabernacle. Moving stuff out of the way. So Exodus chapter 25, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to that. I think I also have it on the screen. I do. And God's, you can just imagine this now. Moses has gone and spent time with God. Remember that? And God gives him the law. Now, I don't know about you, but I might have been in the situation where I went, God, I know you told me something about this part, but I don't remember everything. Can you go over that again with me? But it's amazing how God spoke the word into Moses, and then he wrote these things down so that the people could know what God said. Now, with that in mind, think about this. And I don't know if we always do that when we open the Bible. These are the words of God himself. He's breathed these words. So there's nothing in God's word that's not important. There's nothing in God's word that just happens to be there. These are words that are spoken and inspired by God himself. He says, make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Overlay it with pure gold and make a gold molding around it. Also make around it a rim a handbreadth wide and put a gold molding on the rim. Make 4 gold rings for the table and fasten them to the 4 corners where the 4 legs are. These rings are to be close to the rim to hold the poles used in carrying the table. Make the poles of acacia wood, overlay them with gold, and carry the table with them. And make its plates and dishes of pure gold, as well as its pitchers and bowls for the pouring out of the offerings. Put the bread of the presence on this table to be before me at all times. So here's a picture on your handout of a rendering of what the table of showbread looked like in the tabernacle. This was not a huge thing. In fact, the table of showbread was a small table. It was made of acacia wood, overlaid with pure gold. It measured 3 feet by 1.5 feet by 2 feet and 3 inches high. It took on the right side, it stood on the right side of the holy place. You can see on the diagram where it was when you would go into the holy place or when the priest would go into the holy place. Directly across from the golden lampstand, which we looked at last week, and it had 12 loaves of bread representing the 12 tribes of Israel. The priest baked the bread with fine flour, and it remained on the table before the Lord for a week. Every Sabbath day, the priest would remove it and eat it in the holy place and put fresh bread on the table. And only the priest could eat the bread, and it could only be eaten in the holy place because it was holy. Now, let's stop there for just a minute. All right, so the picture here is that in the holy place so far, we saw the menorah, the golden lampstand, okay? And that was a picture of what? Anybody remember that? Huh? He was the vine, we are the branches, right? The 6 branches that come out from the main branch. 6 represents man, the main branch represents him, but every one of those branches is lit, and every one of those branches gives off light. And so the picture here is that Jesus is the light, and as we abide in him, we are also light. And Jesus said, you will be the light of the world. All right? So that's the picture of that side. Okay? On the opposite side, straight across from the light, and by the way, the light was to remain on constantly. On the opposite side, there was this showbread, the bread of the presence, it's called in Scripture. And it was there constantly. It was there from Sabbath to Sabbath. And as soon as the next Sabbath came, they would replace that bread with new bread and eat that bread. The priest would. Okay? So here's that picture. Light's always there. The bread is always there. Okay? Showbread, also called the bread of the presence, because it was to always be in the Lord's presence. The table and the bread were a picture of God's willingness to fellowship and communion, literally speaking, sharing something in common with man. It was like an invitation to share a meal or an extension of a friendship. Eating together often is an act of fellowship. God was willing for man to enter into his presence to fellowship with him, and this invitation was always open to the priests. Now, you think, well, that's just the tribe of Levi, and only a few of them that were allowed to be priests in the tabernacle. So how is it that everybody could experience this? How is it that everybody could understand what this was even all about? Because they didn't get to go in. They didn't get to eat the bread. They didn't get to see the lampstand. They didn't get to see the incense that was burning in there. They would see the smoke of it coming up, but they didn't get to go in. God, again, was painting a picture that there had to be an advocate. There had to be a go-between. There had to be somebody who could come on your behalf and advocate for you. See, again, he's painting this picture of the cross. He's painting a picture of the one who would die on the cross. He's painting the picture of the only true advocate and high priest that would take the place for us, Jesus. And so these Levites, these priests, not the high priest, but these priests would come in and they would basically take care of the holy place. They would make sure that the oil was in the lamp, and they would make sure that the bread was still where it was supposed to be, and they would make sure that the incense was burning at the proper times. And that was their whole job. I mean, then they did it well. Because God says, I want these things to be constant. Now, one of the things that it implies to me is that God wants us to understand that He's a God of order. He's a God of specifics. He's a God that wants us to know that He's always going to be there. He's not going to leave. And that picture of the bread specifically was that it needed to always be there. The picture of the light was that it always needed to be on. God's saying, I'm always going to be here. I've chosen to abide with you. But God also knew there had to be a point in our lives when we chose to abide with Him. So that's kind of the picture there of the table of showbread. Now, Leviticus chapter 24, verses 5 through 9, tells us about the showbread and what were some of the rules regarding the bread. So put that up if you will, Wayne. You are to take the finest flour and bake 12 loaves of bread using 2/10 of an ephah for each loaf. Arrange them in 2 stacks, 6 in each stack, on the table of pure gold before the Lord. By each stack, put some pure incense as a memorial portion to represent the bread and to be a food offering presented to the Lord. This bread is to be set out before the Lord regularly, Sabbath after Sabbath, on behalf of the Israelites as a lasting covenant. It belongs to Aaron and his sons, who are to eat it in the sanctuary area, because it's the most holy part of the perpetual share of the food offerings presented to the Lord. So, now, here's something you can pick up on it as he's sharing this with you. This is to be a lasting covenant, okay? A lasting covenant. Now, where else do you remember covenants in Scripture? God made a covenant early on with somebody. Huh? The blood? Oh, with blood, yes. With who? Oh, the flood. I thought you said blood. Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. He made a covenant that he would not destroy the world again by a flood. Right. Then he made a covenant with a guy named Abraham. You remember that? And how did he do that? If you recall, he had Abraham cut some animals in half and lay them on both sides of a ditch. and then to walk through the blood. And as he's walking through the blood, what he's saying is, if I don't keep my part of the contract, of the covenant, this is what deserves to happen to me. It's called the trail of blood. It's called the walking of the covenant. And God says, okay, I know when you say that you're going to keep your side of the covenant, you're not going to keep it. So I'm going to keep the covenant for you. And what you deserve to happen to you, I'm going to allow it to happen to me through my son Jesus. So every time you see that word covenant, he made a covenant with David. There's multiple times that he makes a covenant, but what he's saying by making those covenants is, here's what I'm telling you, it's going to be impossible for you to hold up your end of this deal, but I'll always hold up mine. And so he's painting this picture for us. Jesus says, you're going to be the light of the world. So he paints this picture of a lampstand. And he tells his disciples and those on the mount that day that he's preaching to, listen, you don't hide your light. Hold it up so that the world can see it. Now, don't you think that Jesus knew as soon as he was saying that and even before it, because he knows everything, he knew that we wouldn't always be holding up our light? Sometimes we're hiding it under something. Sometimes we're trying to put the thing out. God knows us. We broke the very first covenant. You can eat anything in the garden, but the one thing you shouldn't eat, you eat it. You see, it's just that sin. And he knows what we're made of. But he's painting a picture here. And so he says, I want this to be a lasting covenant. I want you to understand that this bread is to be set out regularly as a picture that I always want to have communion with you. There's never going to be a time where God says, I can't stand people, wish I'd never made them. Get away from me. I never want to see you again. God's not going to do that. That's not the nature of God. So it's not in God's nature to make somebody that he doesn't want to have a relationship with, by the way. It's not in God's nature. No matter what anybody might try to tell you, God's word says, I love you. Before you were born, I knit you together in your mother's womb. Why would I do that if I didn't want to have anything to do with you? This is to be a lasting covenant to say, I want to have communion with you. Now, that word communion is an interesting word because we always think of the Lord's Supper, and that's no problem with that, but it's more than that. What do you think the word communion literally means? It means that what it reminds me of is what back in the 70s, you remember in 60s and 70s, the communes? You know what those were? It was everybody moved in together and shared everything they had with each other. Right? Now, it wasn't always sanitary, and it wasn't always good, and they shared a lot of things with each other that they shouldn't have shared, you know. But the fact was is that they were all together in one place. And God is trying to say to us, he wants us to be together. He wants to be together with his family. He wants to be together with his children that he loves. And I even thought about that today as I was thinking about Billy Graham and all these things that we talked about a while ago. And I thought about how I wish I wasn't separated by miles from my children. And I know that they have to, you know, do their own life and that they have to be missionaries wherever they are. I understand that. Doesn't make it any easier. But the thing that always helps me is this is just temporary. It's just temporary. I got to remember that. I can't live my life here on this earth like it's the only thing that I'll ever have. This is, James says, it appears for just a moment. It's like a vapor and then it's gone. Okay? So we got to make sure that the time he gives us right now, we use it to the utmost. In the mornings, in my quiet time, I love to read Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest, and he just strikes me so many times with things like this. You just come straight to the point. Listen, everything that I'm about today needs to be about Him. Everything. Everything needs to be about Him. What good is it to start building ourselves up or do things for, we've heard all these people over the past 20, 30, 40 years talk about, you need to do things for yourself. This is all about you. And boy, hadn't this world picked up on that. There's never been, that I know of, a more selfish time in America than right now. People are so self-centered. It's all about them. It's all about what they want and what they're doing. And, I understand what social media is like, and I guess there's some good things about it. But a lot of the things that I see in social media is all about the person. It's all about them rather than about Him. And if you can use social media to draw people towards Christ, you ought to do it. Because you can. But, everybody wants what they want when they want it right now. So Leviticus 24 tells us about this showbread. What are some of the rules regarding the bread? Well, one of the rules is this. It should be a lasting covenant. Now, does that mean we ought to be putting bread in here? No. It's the covenant that should be lasting. God is saying, I want to have communion with you forever. I want to be there for you all the time. And I want you to be with me all the time. And there's going to be a way that that's going to take place. And I'm trying to paint a picture for you how that's going to happen. And the picture is there's going to be a gate to go through. And then there's going to be a sacrifice. And then there's going to be confession of sin. And then there's going to be salvation where the light comes to light in you. And you will have communion with me. And then something else happens, and we'll get to that next week. All right, so in this light, why was the showbread called the bread of the presence? Because, by the way, God always takes care of His part. He said, I'm going to be here. Now, if you don't show up, I'm still going to be here. I'm going to be here. There wasn't a day in the tabernacle when somebody got up that morning and looked over at the tabernacle, through those morning eyes. Have you ever had those? The morning eyes, I had to blink about 20 times to get them to focus in. But they never looked over to that tabernacle and wondered, where's the presence of God? It was always there. God says, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to be here for you. That's commitment. That's the picture of an absolute commitment. Let's read John chapter 6, verse 35, and then verses 48 through 51. How did Jesus fulfill the purpose of the bread of the presence? Then Jesus declared, I am. I love that. Every time I see the word I am. I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. And so those priests, every week, as they would take that bread and start taking it in, we're picturing for everybody else. We're taking in God, the life, the bread of life, who wants to stay with us forever. And never will He leave us, and never will He forsake us. And it's a beautiful picture of His presence and having communion with us. And so Jesus fulfilled the purpose of the bread of the presence because he gave up his life. And you recall, as he sat around the last table, Last Supper table, with his disciples, he took that bread and he broke it. And listen to this. He says, I'm making a new covenant with you. So what he was saying is, the covenant has been, up to this point, the priests eat this bread every week as a picture that they want to stay in the presence of God. But I'm making a new covenant with you. In other words, Jesus, God, is saying, all right, here is the point when this covenant transcends into something more awesome than just the priests get to do this. And my body's going to be broken for you. My body, so take and eat of this. If you take of this bread, you're saying, I want to have communion with you, God. And so when we do have the Lord's Supper together, and we take that piece of bread, what we're saying is, God, I want to have communion with you. I realize I already have communion with you because I've accepted you as my Savior. But what I'm saying to you right now is, I want to stay in your presence. I want to stay in your presence because this is the bread of the presence. This is the showbread, saying that I'm showing you, I want to be with you, and I know you're already with me. And we can't take that lightly. I think sometimes we take the Lord's Supper too lightly. We pass the plates, we say the normal things, people eat it, they drink, they get up and leave, and nothing's different. My cousin grew up in the First Christian Church in Waco, Texas. And they had communion every week. Every service, they had communion at the end. How'd you like to be on the communion committee here? But it's almost like it was just a religious thing they did. It needs to be very special because it's the thing that Jesus said to his disciples and to us that's a new covenant. A new covenant in the blood, and a new covenant in his body being broken. So here is this picture that he's painting for us. So Jesus uses bread for another significant analogy in Matthew 26:26. We can go to that next. Oh, wait. Go back one. I'm sorry. Can you go back? He exemplified this when he ate with the tax collectors, prostitutes, and sinners of the Jewish society. But this was more than just a gesture of friendship on earth. Jesus came to call sinners to him, make them right with God so they could enjoy everlasting fellowship with God. And I thought about that today when we were listening about all the different things that Billy Graham had done. And there wasn't a place that he wasn't willing to go. He went places and preached the gospel where it was illegal to have a Bible, because he wanted the world to know that Jesus Christ was the way and the truth and the life. There's no other way. That's what he did. And that's what we ought to be doing. Wherever God calls us to go, we ought to be going. Okay, to the next one. Here we are. Matthew 26:26. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he says, take and eat. This is my body. Now, I don't think any of them sitting there were going like, well, wait a minute. This didn't come off of you. I think it's for them, all of them growing up in the Jewish thought, it was like a spiritual awakening for them. Oh, we get it now. What you're saying to us is, even though you're going to die on a cross, even though you're going to be separated from us physically, we're never going to be separated. We're going to have communion with you and you with us. We'll still be in your presence. Even though we don't see you with our physical eyes and we can't touch you with our physical hands, you're still going to be right here with us. And then Jesus told them later, and by the way, I'm going to be sending my Holy Spirit to live inside of you as a what? Comforter? As a what? A testimony? As a fulfillment of what I've all explained to you this whole time. So he uses this bread as a picture. Now, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says, "Here I am," by the way, "here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Now, a lot of people think, well, what he's talking about is that if anybody's lost, I'm standing at their heart's door and I'm knocking, and if they'll just invite me in, I'll come. And there is part of that as a picture, but if you remember who he's talking to the church. He's talking to people who are already Christians. And what he's saying to them is, I don't want to live on some pedestal in your house. I don't want to be put on a table. I don't want to be shoved in a closet or on a shelf. I want to live inside your heart. I want to live there. I want to be the presence that's always there, and I'm not going to leave. And yet so many people can say, well, yeah, I want the salvation of Jesus, but I don't want the sovereignness of Jesus. The saviorship of Jesus is fine. But for him to control me, I'm not so sure I want that. I don't want to give up myself. I'd rather kind of hang on somehow if that's possible. God, is that possible? It is possible, but it's not good. It's not the best. The scripture calls those kind of people carnal. They want to hold on to God and the world at the same time. And as he was talking to this particular church, this is the same church he was talking to, it says, man, it's like lukewarm. What happens when you drink something that's lukewarm? Yeah. You know, if you're going to drink coffee, drink it hot. I know some people like iced coffee. I don't know about that. But just warm coffee is like, yeah. Ugh. She said, I would rather you be hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Boy, folks, we need a hot group of people who experience the communion with God every day so that we can be the light that shines into this world. That's all Jesus is really saying is this, John 15:5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, he who comes and dwells in me stays there, and I in him, you're going to bring forth much fruit, because apart from me, you can't do that. Paraphrased. You can't do it. So stay. Because I'm staying. Jesus said, I'm staying. I'm not leaving. I remember as a young person, I went to this conference and there was a group of guys who did skits. And one of the skits was about this guy who just come to know Jesus. And so because he just came to know Jesus, the person that was playing Jesus would mirror him everywhere. Everywhere he'd go, Jesus would be right there. And it kind of got uncomfortable for the guy because he couldn't go the places he really wanted to go. And so a friend would walk by and say, hey, man, we're going to this party. You want to go? Yeah. And Jesus just walked with him. He goes, where are you going? I'm going with you. You can't go there. I went to a lot of parties. I went to every place where there were sinners. I went to their houses and ate. I could go with you. But I don't want you to go there. Isn't that the picture of us? We want Jesus, but we don't want for him to always be there. Because we'd like to have our sinful side, the dark areas of our life. God says, I'm going to be here. I'm not leaving. Boy, in a world where everybody's leaving, Jesus says, I'm not going to leave. I'm telling you now, I am the bread of life. I'm going to have communion with you. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be present. I want you to know that. And so again, through the gate, the sacrifice, the confession of sin, the light of the world begins in us because we have the presence of God. And next week we'll talk about the burning of the incense. Okay?